nothing. And this fellow doesn't even know I'm seeing him. I thought you were a lady.
So both say we're on page 303, which is Siman Tov Reish Pei Ches, and we're halfway through Siv Dalet, and now we have the more challenging part of Siv Dalet. So again, page 303, or in the Hebrew it'll say Kuf Nun Beis, and we're on the last line in the Mechaber. And this is okay. We finished Siv Dalet yesterday, so we're up to Siv Hei.
Okay.
Now, just by way of introduction, we have two categories. We have what's called a Ben-Ir, and we have what's called a Ben-Krah. So the Ben-Ir, who lives in an unwalled city, has to read the Megillah on the 14th, day and night. The Ben-Krah, who lives in a walled city from the time of Yeshua Ben-Nun, he has to read the Megillah on the 15th, night and day. Is there a possibility that a person who, as a general rule, he lives in a city, but he happens to find himself on Purim in a krach, or vice versa? He's a classical ben krach, that's where he lives, that's where he's registered, that's where he's a citizen, but he finds himself in a city on Purim. And to what extent can we strip ourselves of our identity? Can a person who belongs really to the ear now transfer himself over to the krach? And is it a matter of the happens to be in the krach at the 15th? Again, there's so many different possible scenarios. We'll have to sort it all out and go through all the possible scenarios. You could have one scenario where he already read the Megillah as a Ben-Ir on the 14th, then he traveled to Yerushalayim and he finds himself in the Krach on the 15th. Is he possibly, theoretically, obligated to Megillah a second time around? So not only two readings, which he had on Yudalit, but another two readings on Tesvav. Or you can have the opposite scenario. You could have someone who's a Ben-Krach, and he finds himself in the krach in his hometown, Yerushalayim, let's say, on the 14th. He did not read the Megillah. Then, lo and behold, he moves to an unwalled city on the 15th. Let's say he's in Telstone on the 15th, and therefore they're not celebrating Purim on the 15th in Telstone because that's an unwalled city. So it turns out he didn't get Megillah reading anywhere. There are so many different possible variations. If you take a look at the Bir Aloch, the last two lines, he says, Se'if ze rabu pe'erosav miyot. He said, this Se'if that we're about to learn has many different branches. You know, it's very rich and approaches many different things. Now, in the Mishnah Berurah itself, he's going to approach this sugya from the position of the opinion of Rashi. There are other opinions, but we're going to take Rashi. Let's read the Mechaber first. Ben-Ir, Shaholach Lekrach. So now we're raising the possibility that even though his domicile is in an open city, he now finds himself in a metropolis, which is walled city, and therefore he might actually become Chayav in Megillah reading on the 15th. Oh, in the reverse situation, Ben-Krach, he lives and he's a member of a city that's very large and walled, but Halach Le'ir, he finds himself on Purim in a city. Says the Mechaber, here we turn to page 304, Im Hoya Daito Lachso Limakomo. It seems that, number one, again, there'll be a second condition, but let's go through the first condition. It all depends, in the first condition, on his das. What is his intention? In other words, let's say a person moves, you know, he buys a new house, or he rents a house, so he can transfer his registered address from one place to the other. You know, like having driver's licenses. You know, you have a driver's license from a certain state, and then you move to a different state, so you have to register with the vehicle bureau, the Bureau of Vehicles in that state. So here we're saying that it's daito lachzor lemakomo. In other words, he's not changing his address on a permanent basis. That would be ein daito lachzor. Then that concept itself, by the way, as we all know, I'm just repeating what we know, applies to the law of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. So a person, for example, celebrated Yom Tov Sheni for the last 50 years of his life. Now he packed his bags from New York and he lives in Yerushalayim or anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. And now, because he's made a transition in which he now lives in Yerushalayim or anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, he now will only celebrate one day of Yom Tov. That's because Ein Daito Lachzor, because he came here on a permanent basis to settle here. He made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. But we're talking about a case where Daito Lachzar, in other words, he didn't change his address on a permanent basis to live either in a Ben Krach if he's in Ben Ir or in an Ir if he's in Ben Krach, but it's bad of Daito Lachzar Lemkomo.
Do we previously define Ben Ir and Ben Krach?
Well, that's what we're doing now. Again, so right now we're saying that his address, you know, the house with the roof on top of his head is X. Again, it always switches back and forth from Ir to Krach.
Makes so it's a permanent residence.
And that's where his permanent residence is. And now he finds himself on Purim in a different place. Okay? So what happens now? So the Mechaber first is talking about a case of Daito Lachzar, meaning here's a case where we're not going to impose upon him a chiyuv of that day that's appropriate for where he physically is, because he's only passing through that place. That's called Daito Lachzar Lemkomo. Okay. Number two, and here's the second condition, is Bizman Kriya. What it means is that he will be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah, because he'll be back in his place at the time of Megillah reading. So he may be a Ben Krach who now on the 14th finds himself in Tel Aviv, we'll call it, right? But he's only there on a temporary basis. By the time the 15th rolls around, he'll be back in Yerushalayim. So his permanent residence is Yerushalayim. He's passing through Tel Aviv on the 14th. He'll be back in Yerushalayim, his permanent place of residence, at the time of the Kriya. Let's talk about the reverse scenario. He is a Tel Avivi, and he is in Tel Aviv at the time of his Kriya. He may find himself in Yerushalayim on a temporary basis, but it's Daito Lachzar. Now, what happens was Nisakev. For some reason, his plans fell through. You know, the bus company decided that they're canceling that, the train decided they're canceling that train. So he gets stuck. And v'lo chazar. And he couldn't go back to his original place. Is therefore kore kimakomo. What's critical here, says the Mechaber, is not where he is, but where his mind is, so to speak. In other words, where his original plans are. If the original plans, again, they got foiled, but his original intention was to go back to his place, that's called kore bimakomo. Now, he's going to be in a little bit of a difficult straits over here, because he did not catch the train back to his place. He missed the train, or they canceled the train. So what's going to be? Let's say, for example, he finds himself in Yerushalayim on the 14th. No one is reading the Megillah, theoretically, in Yerushalayim. His plans were to find himself back in Tel Aviv on the 14th, but now he got stuck in Yerushalayim on the 14th. His original plan was to be in Yerushalayim and pass through Yerushalayim and be back in Tel Aviv on the 14th. He got stuck in Yerushalayim. So despite his intention of Daito Lachzar, physically, in reality, he's stuck in Yerushalayim. Now, the technicality here, here's the engineering problem. He's going to have to find someone, if he can't do it himself, who will read the Megillah on his behalf in Yerushalayim. That's really difficult to find for a number of reasons, which we'll get into as we go through this sieve. If he could read the Megillah himself, kimakomo, even though he's in Yerushalayim, that's fine. And that would be the best solution possible under these circumstances.
On the 14th.
On the 14th. Now let's talk about the reverse case. He finds himself in Yerushalayim on the 15th. He himself, his permanent residence is in Tel Aviv. He had no intention of remaining and dilly-dallying in Yerushalayim on the 15th, but he got stuck there. His plans got foiled. Well, in this case, he's going to read the Megillah on the 14th, and that's, once again, it might be a bit of a challenge, but if he can get someone, or he himself could read the Megillah, that's fine. Again, all this is in a case where he has no intention of changing his permanent residence. He's passing through the other category, whatever it be, on a temporary basis. He got stuck there during the time of Megillah reading. That was not his original intention. He reads Kimakomo. But here's the change of residence place that I mentioned before. You know, if you want to register in a different state. If let's say he wants to be in that new place on a more permanent basis, now what does that mean, permanent basis? Is he selling his house? Is he buying a new house? Is he at least renting a new house? Oh, no. What's considered ein daito lachzor, says the Mechaber, in our context, is bizman hakriya. In other words, his intention was, let's say, in the case of a Tel Avivi, he's not just passing through Yerushalayim on his way back to Tel Aviv on the 15th, but his intention is to remain in Yerushalayim until after Kriyas HaMegillah. We're going to have to discuss which Kriyas HaMegillah. Is it the night Kriyas HaMegillah or the morning Kriyas HaMegillah? Let's assume we're talking about the morning Kriyas HaMegillah. So he has intention with daybreak on the 15th of being in Yerushalayim. Let's talk about the reverse case. He's a Yerushalmi, meaning his status is that of Ben Krach. He's visiting Tel Aviv, but his intention on the 14th is to remain in Tel Aviv. And in this case, Koreim Anshe Hamokom Shehu Shav. We no longer go by his mindset, which is called Korei Bimkomo, but rather Koreim Anshe Hamokom Shehu Shav. So again, let's go through our two scenarios. He's a Tel Avivi. He plans to spend the 15th of Adar, in Yerushalayim. At least he'll be in Yerushalayim until daybreak of the 15th. With his Zman HaKriya, he intends, and that was the original plan, to be in Yerushalayim. As far as Megillah reading is concerned, it's as if he now, on the 15th, has submitted to the official registrar, to the officials, his new address. Because as far as Megillah reading is concerned, your address is determined by the Zman HaKriya. You are no longer considered passing through that point because you are expecting to stay there during the Zman HaKriya. And if you stay during the Zman HaKriya, we tag on you, we slap on you the halach of that makom, which is called Anshe HaMakom Shusham. In the reverse case, he's a Yerushalmi, finds himself in Tel Aviv on the 14th. He intends to stay in Tel Aviv overnight and be there with daybreak on the 14th of Adar. Koreim Anshe Amokomahu. Basically, if we want to summarize the entire Seif in the Shulchan Aruch, whether or not you pick up the Chi of Megillah in the place where you are at depends upon your Das. If your Das was to be there at night, but not with daybreak, and it's in the middle of the night, you're going back to your original domicile, then you don't pick up the Anshe Amokom Shusham, but rather Korei Kimakomo. If, on the other hand, your intention was to stay overnight in that new location, and with daybreak, when the Chiyuv, or the Zman HaMegillah emerges, you intend to be in that new place, you become, for purposes of Megillah reading, a citizen of that new place. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is going to try to iron out all the nitty-gritty details of this Shulchan Aruch. In other words, at this point in time, the best I can do for you is just translate the words of the Mechaber in very general, sketchy terms. And in order to fill in the details here, we're going to have to learn through the Mishnah Berurah. I have no choice here because, as I said, the language of the Mechaber is somewhat vague. He gives you the abstract or the nitty-gritty framework, but he doesn't go into the details.
You think the Mechaber, I know you're going to say you don't know what the Mechaber was thinking.
Right, that's why I want to hold off all our questions until after we see the Mishnah Berurah, because until we see the Mishnah Berurah, I'm just going to look like an idiot if you ask me any questions, okay. Because I possibly don't know. So I'll have to plead the fifth in any event. So rather than plead the fifth, I would ask for your indulgence, so to speak, and let's go through the Mishnah Berurah. Now, as we said at the outset, the Mishnah Berurah is going to reflect the Shita of Rashi. He's going to assume that the Mechaber accepts the Shita of Rashi. And all this is a sugya in Masechta Megillah and Daf Yud Ches. So without further ado, we're going to take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Okay? And this is Nova Yud Beis, which you'll see just begins at the tippy end of our page, Kuf Nun Beis, Ben Irshal of the Krach, and then we immediately turn the page over to 304, and it says the following: Se'if Zeh Hu Lashon HaRambam. He says up front that the Mechaber, this is typical, is copying the Rambam's language in Hilchos Megillah. Now, if you want to know where exactly this Rambam is, and maybe we'll get a chance to open the Rambam, you take a look at what's called the Be'er HaGola. I'm just giving you a methodology here. This helps a lot. And the Be'er HaGola is on page 302. So if you go back to page 302, he starts with the Mishnah in Megillah, and then he goes on to the Ran in the name of Tosfos, and then on page Kufnun Beis, he mentions that in addition to Tosfos, we have to deal with a Rambam, and he says that the Rambam is Shom. Now, when he used the word Shom, you know, you don't always know what he means. So you might want to go fast forward to the end of that line. And he says, the Rambam has been Perek Aleph, right? Mi Mishnah Yutes. Okay, so he tells you that the Rambam is in the first chapter of Hilchos Megillah.
Where do you see that?
That's the last line in the Berah Gola on page Kufnun Beis.
Is,
you see where he writes the word Rambam?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to the Mishnah Berurah. What does it say in the Rambam? So whatever it says in the Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Rambam, which means that the Rambam makes it all dependent upon his das. Does he intend to be there during the time of Kriyas HaMegillah, the Chi of Kriyas HaMegillah? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Mipneisha Rabim Miskashim B'Sif Zeh, because of the difficult challenges that we face in understanding what's going on here, and as a result of the fact that there are many mistakes and errors in the way we interpret this, muchach, and I have no choice, but laharchiv hadibur ktsas. I think he's sort of excusing himself, meaning in general he likes to be very abridged and short and to the sweet and to the point. Here he feels compelled to give us a little bit more of an arichus. Now, when he says an arichus and he wants to go into greater detail, what he means is, let's go back to the Rambam and take a look at the commentaries on the Rambam, the super commentaries on the Rambam, because the Mechaber is really copying word for word from the Rambam. And he says the following, that the most important super commentaries on the Rambam are number one, the Magid Mishnah, and number two, the Kesef Mishnah. And in this case, if you fast forward a couple of hundred years, you get to the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, and the Gra accepts this interpretation of the Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah. So he's already hinting to you that there may be various other possibilities as to how to interpret the Shulchan Aruch, how to interpret the Rambam, but we're going to go with the classic commentaries on the Rambam, which are accepted by the Gaon. And we have to know that there are three basic principles that we have to operate with. And here you're looking at the first of the wide lines, which starts with the letter Aleph. Do you see that, Rabosai?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to underline this Aleph over here, so that the eye will quickly catch the Aleph. And he says the following. The basic principle is, De'im hu shayach la'ore aprozos, if his permanent residence is in Tel Aviv, Afil Yom Echad. Here's the radical change. You and I would have said, for purposes of registering what state you know you pay taxes to, what state you get licensed by the Bureau of Vehicles, of Motor Vehicles, you would have to be there for a longer period of time. In fact, I remember once when we changed location, we had to produce all sorts of bills, you know, that we've been paying. They've been paying the electricity and taxes, you know, and so forth and so on. But here is halacha of afilu yom echad, that a person who really doesn't belong to the city of Tel Aviv. He's not even registered in the Tel Aviv, but halachically he becomes a Tel Avivi. Why? Because he's shayach to Tel Aviv for one day out of the year, but that's a crucial day as far as Megillah reading is concerned. And what's the terminology used by the halacha? He's called a paruz, okay? And we'll soon see that, again, if I could add a few words here, he's a paruz ben yomo, if you don't mind adding those words here, because as we'll soon see, that if he's there in that city, which we're talking about Tel Aviv now, for that one day, meaning for the night of Yudalid, going over, spilling over to the morning of Yudalid, he's called a Paruz Ben Yomo. He's got a, you know, a temporary, gentlemen, I don't know if you are registered in Mu'uchedet. You know, there are many different Kupat Cholim. So if you happen to be a member of Mu'uchedet, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You can get what's called a day card. that will allow you to get a doctor's visit and even get prescriptions from the doctor, as if you had a 3-month period, even though you're only getting it for one day. So there's a special number that you call for Kupat Cholim. They give you a secret number for that day, that when you go to the doctor, they'll know you're registered with Kupat Cholim for that one day. It's very relevant if you ever lose your card, your cartis magneti, as they call it. In any event, in the parallel sense, is something called a parz ben yoma. For one day, you are registered in Tel Aviv. V'chein, and in the flip side, imushayach lemukafim, if he can register for one single day in the Mukafim, meaning the Krachim, which are walled cities that read on the 15th, afil yom echad, even one day, and he's Kari Mukaf, again I would add the same words, Ben Yomo, for that one day he's a Mukaf, V'kore b'tesva. So just like we had a Paras Ben Yomo who reads on Yudalid, we have a Mukaf Ben Yomo who reads on Tesva. Again, we haven't faced the main question here about whether or not he can be Chayev on both days and have 4 kriyos of Megillah obligatory, or alternatively can be chayv on no days, 0 days. Now we get to the second principle, that zman kriya hu ikar bayom, that when we say that you take on the status for one single day of either a ben parus or a ben krach for that one day, because for that day you're in that location, that's as far as the yom is concerned. Why? Because the main time for Kriyas HaMegillah, he calls it Ikar, is Bayom. So again, if I am in Tel Aviv and I live in Yerushalayim on the night of the 14th, but I'm not staying overnight, before yom, meaning before daybreak, whatever that means, before daybreak I'm already out of there, or at least I intend to be out of there, then I don't have the status of a Paruz Ben Yomo, because a Paruz Ben Yomo depends upon Zman Kriya. And therefore says the Mishnah Berurah, V'keimon shehayu bi'ori ha'prozos be'ascholas yom yudalid, which means that he was in Tel Aviv with daybreak on the 14th of Adar, or at least that was his intention, then he becomes a Paruz Ben Yomo and he has to read on the 14th because he was there with daybreak, which is the Zman of Ikar Kriya. V'chein, and again the flip side, Kai Gavna, in the same scenario, Le'inyin Mukafim B'yom Tesva. If his plan was to be in Yerushalayim with daybreak on the 15th, he becomes a Mukaf or Ben Kraft Ben Yomo. For that date, he's going to read on the 15th. Now we get to principle number 3. Zman Kriya Shekosev HaMachaber Hainu zman kriya samokom shuhu bo ata velo zman sheyotza misham, which means that whenever we see in the halacha, this is in the Rambam and also in the Mechaber, something called zman kriya. For example, if you underline the second line in the Mechaber on this page, you'll see the word zman kriya. Zman kriya means in the mokom, in the place where he is now. In other words, not the Zman Kriya of where he came from, but where he finds himself now. The Ata Nevar, now based on these 3 principles, we can begin to understand and explain this entire Si'if. Okay? So now we're getting down to the brass tacks, meaning the practical scenarios and their rulings, not the theoretical principles and definitions. Okay, Ben Ir, this is on the 4th of the wide ones. Ben Ir Shahalach Lekrach. So we have a Tel Avivi who finds himself in Yerushalayim, which is a Krach that reads on the 15th. See, it's interesting, he starts with the more complicated case.
Yeah, that's
the more complicated case. But okay, let's just go through it the way the Mishnah Berurah. There must be a reason why pedagogically he decided to approach it from the more complicated case. So we're talking about a Tel Avivi who's now in Yerushalayim. And Hoya Bidaito be Ace Nisioso Lachsor Limakomo Bizman Kriya. His intention is to be back in Yerushalayim for Tesvav. So he'll be back in Yerushalayim be Ace or Bizman Kriya. Ratzo lomar bizman kriya shel tesvav. So physically his body is located in a city where they read on Yudalit, but his mindset is to be back in Yerushalayim, back in his hometown, which is Akrach, on Tesvav. Dahainu, Mishaheir Hayom, Lo Yesham, Ki Yachzor Lumakomo, Kodem Or Hayom.
Okay. Yachzor Misham. Kodem or
yeah, Misham means Mimkomo. Mimkomo means the Makom Shu Nimtza Sham, right? That's where he finds himself in the Zman HaKriya. So again, if you ask me what his intention was, then as far as the Zman HaKriya, Bimakom Sheyot, Bimakom, just again, we've got to get this straight, the third principle was Bimakom Shu Bo Ata. You know, I would recommend if you happen to own the cap. Do any of you own the copy of the...
Yeah, I'm writing on it, yes.
Oh, so do me a favor, yourself a favor too. On line 3 of the wider lines, in the middle of that line it says, Shehu Bo Ata. Can you find those three words?
Got it.
Those are the three words that you want to highlight. Okay. Because again, any discussion here about where he is or where his intention was, Bizman HaKriya refers to the place that he's located now. So when he says, for example, Ki Yachzor Misham, on line number 5 of the wide lines, Yachzor Misham, he means Sham Shehubo Ata. And the word Yachzor means he's going to evacuate, he's going to leave the place where he is now, Kodem Ar Hayom. So again, in his mental, if we could read his mind, then, you know, if a person is where his mind is, where his mind thinks he is, or his mind thinks he should be, which that's a scary principle, because if it applies to tefillah, we're in deep trouble, because our minds are anywhere but on tefillah. But anyway, if a person is where he thinks he is, or he thinks he wants to be, then in this case, although physically he is in a place where they read the Megillah on the 14th, he is really in the place where, meaning the Krach, where they read on the 15th. Why? Because with daybreak, which is the Iker Zman HaKriya, B'makom Shu Ata, he, by that time, will be out of Tel Aviv. I'm out of here. Again, it's going to be very complicated if he's going
to
be on the...
He gets delayed.
Yeah. Even though he finds out that he is delayed, and lis akiv sham gam al yom tesvav. Oh, this is very important. This is where the Mishnah Berurah is going to clarify the machab. You see, this is what we were missing. That's why I begged you to hold your questions till we see the Mishnah Berurah, because what's happening is that this Yerushalmi who intended to be in Tel Aviv only for the night of the 14th, he was intending to get out of there before daybreak on the 14th in the morning. He's not a Poruz Ben Yomo, because from his perspective and his mindset, his intention was to be out of there before the Zman Kriyas HaMokom Shu Bo Ata, meaning the Yudalit Kriya. However, at the end of the day, he got stuck. Right, he missed the last train out, and here's where the Mishnah Berurah comes to steps up to the plate. He says, "How long was he delayed? You know, there was a storm. You know, did they cancel one train? No, he says they canceled all the trains. Have you ever been stuck in a city because of a strike? I had this in Chicago once. The strike was in New York, and they couldn't get me out of Chicago. And I was thinking of taking an Amtrak. The Amtrak from Chicago to New York, if I remember correctly, was over a day. It was like more than 24 hours. I'm probably exaggerating because, you know, when time passes by, I mean, it's a mice of 25 years ago, you know, you dramatize yourself. But you got to rely on me. It's a very long trip on the Amtrak.
You plan on flying from Florida, and Newark is not accepting any flights. It happens all the time.
And I think the Amtrak from Florida to Newark is probably about 24 hours. It's a long, long trip by train. Even in the fast Amtrak. But I might be exaggerating. You know, there's the fast Amtrak, the regular Amtrak.
You're flying. The situation happens.
That's what I'm saying. My option in the case of getting stranded in Chicago was to take an Amtrak. But I got so scared, because to take an Amtrak and be on a train for 25 hours, it just, in my mind, it wasn't an option. So I figured the strike will last one day, maybe it'll last 2 days. But the truth is it lasted 3-4 days, and I was stuck in the dorms in Skokie Yeshiva for 3-4 days, living like Yeshiva Bacha. But in this case, he got stranded in Tel Aviv, not only for the 14th, but even for the 15th. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. And what's the ruling in such a case? His initial intention was to be out of there on the night of the 14th. He stuck there not only the 14th, but on the 15th. Mikol makom, his eino nikra b'shem muka, v'kori b'yom yidalid, lios b'yoso. But one second, I'm sorry. Give me a minute. I got a little bit confused here. Ben Irsh Olach Lekrach. Oh, yeah. There's a Rav Solom is mine. Kriya Shalim Dehainu. Sheira Yom Lo Yesh Shav Yasin Kom Go. Afshel V'Sof Rosh U'Muchrach Lis Akev Shom Gam Al Yom Tesvav. It's me. Kol Makom. Eino Nikra B'Shem Mukaf. Okay, I'm really sweating under the collar here. Of course, he says the exact opposite of what I thought he was going to say. Just give me a second. See, this is what happens when you learn this on your own. You know, you quickly jump to conclusions. When you learn it with a chabura, you come to a different. Mikol makom eino nikra b'shem mukaf. I'm going to suggest the following, and at this point, if you guys want to pack your bags and leave, you'd be okay with me, because, you know, this is a mekaftos from your perspective. This is not what you signed on for. But I'm going to have to read this a few times over and over again, because I realize that it's a lot more complicated than I thought.
You don't know you're not going to be there on the 15th until it's too late.
So I thought in that case, since your original intention was to stay in Tel Aviv only during the nighttime hours of the 14th, then the Mishnah Berurah should have said you don't become, in this case, a parus, even though you're stuck there, to the 15th. You follow? I would have said that in such a case, even though you're in Tel Aviv on the 15th, you'll have to read the Megillah on the 15th. That was my impression, but I see I'm dead wrong. So again, it's up to you guys. At this point, you want to pack your bags and leave, you're okay. But if you want to stay with me, I'm going to have to read this over a few times, over and over again. Okay then? I'm going to have to read this over a few times over and over again, because I see that he's not on the same, I'm not on the same page as the Mishnah Berurah. Again, he's saying the following: Ben Ir Shalach Lekrach. This is line 4 of the wide lines. I'm rewinding a little bit. Im Haya B'Daito B'Esnes Yoso Lachso Limakoma, which means that he wants to go back to his krach, his man kriya. So on the 15th, he'll be back in his krach. What's a lomar? Bizman kriya shel tesvav.
No, he's a ben ha'ir shehalach lekrach.
Okay, so again, let's go back and retrace our steps. So we're talking now about a Tel Avivi who finds himself where? In Yerushalayim. Okay, so now I have to cross that. I told you before that I didn't understand why the Mishnah Berurah was starting with the more complicated case, which is the case of Yerushalmi that ends up in Tel Aviv. So put that all in deep freeze. We're going to get to that later on. He starts actually with the more simple case. And that's where I made my mistake. So I applaud you, Phil, for pointing out my mistake. Shkut. I owe you one. Ben Ir Shaholach Lekrach. Oh. So it's the opposite case. This is a case where the Tel Avivi finds himself in Yerushalayim, but when he leaves, in other words, when he departs from Tel Aviv on his way to Yerushalayim, his intention was to be back in Tel Aviv with daybreak of the 14th. So again, forgetting about his plans being foiled, let's just focus on what his original intention was. Where is this Tel Aviv intending to be in his original plans on the day of the 14th?
In
Tel Aviv. So therefore, he does not take on the status of a mukaf, even though he gets stuck in Yerushalayim. Ratzalom b'zman kriyas shel tesvav.
But it doesn't matter.
Oh, just one second. Oh, here's where it does get a little bit more complicated. Just one second. So again, he's a Tel Avivi. And
he planned to be back in Tel Aviv on the morning of the 14th.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought, Phil. But it, again, you're going to have to bear with me as I read this over and over again. Because I don't think that's what he's saying. That's what I was hoping he was saying, but I don't think the text bears that out. He says, so where is he now? He's in Yerushalayim, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Lachzor l'mkom b'zman kriya, which I thought meant yudalid, and you also, Phil, got that impression. But take a look. He says, Ratzalomar, what do I mean by zman kriya? B'zman kriya shel tesvav. So give me a minute. If you can bear with me, because again, the mathematics here is a little bit challenging. Because otherwise, if you say anything, I'm going to get totally discombobulated. In this case, you have to let me work this out on my own. You know, I'm standing on thin ice here, so give me a minute to get my bearing. Because right now, I'm totally disoriented, and I'll get totally derailed by whatever you tell me. Because sometimes, you know, this is what Plato says about teaching math to children, that you have to let the child figure it out on his own. So Ratzalom, what is his intention? That he will be back in Tel Aviv before daybreak of the 15th. Dahainu, Mishaher Ayom, Lo Yeh Shom, Ki Yachzor Misham, Kodem Ar Hayom. So again, in his original plan, he has no intention of being in Yerushalayim with daybreak of the 15th. By daybreak of the 15th, he'll certainly be out of there. But now his plans got derailed. Afshel Besof Roeh Shumuchrach Lisakev Sham. He stuck where? In Yerushalayim. Gam Al Yom Tesvav. So therefore, you would say that physically, in reality, where is he on the day of Tesvav? He is in Yerushalayim. Everybody around him is running to hear the Megillah. Mikolakom eno nikra b'shem mukaf v'korei b'yom yudalid b'yosa b'krach. Again, this is all assuming that he knows how to read the Megillah himself. But in any event, let's just assume so. If you'll grant me that premise, then on the 15th, everyone but him is reading the Megillah, correct? He's going to have to read the Megillah on Yom Yudalit. Why? Because he intended to be in Tel Aviv before daybreak on Tesvav. If he intended to be back in Tel Aviv before daybreak on Tesvav in original plans, again, those plans never materialized, then he never received, if you will, that name change or that status change to become a Mukaf Ben Yomam. Because in order to become a Mukaf Ben Yomam for this Tel Aviv, he has to have in his original plans that he will be in Yerushalayim with daybreak of the 15th. That was not his intention. And now, lo and behold, his plans have changed. Right? His plans have changed. Just give me one more second and then the floor is yours. I mean to say his plans are foiled, so what word do I want to use? He has to reorient himself. I'm looking for a different word. Anyway,
recalibrate,
okay, right? Recalculating, whatever the word is. So now, in his recalculation, he realizes that tomorrow, meaning on the 15th, there's no train that's going to get him out on the 15th, out of Yerushalayim back in his direction, Tel Aviv, that he's going to be spending the entire day of Yudalit, including at least half of Tesvav, meaning until the morning of Tesvav, in Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, since his original plan was not to be in Yerushalayim on the 15th with daybreak, he remains a Ben Parus. And if he remains Ben Parus, he's going to have to read on Yom Yudalit. Again, the Mishnah Berurah at this point is not addressing the following question. Just one second. If he doesn't realize, on Yudalit, Okay, we're going to have to address the following question. What happens if on Yudalid, right, so Kore Imohem, just 1 second, he's not, even though he's going to end up, that's the Chiddush, that he's in Yerushalayim on Yudalid, and he has to read the Megillah as a loner, right, he's the Lone Ranger, who's going to read the Megillah on Yudalid, in Yerushalayim, because his status is that of a Ben Parus. And why is a Ben Parus? Not the way I said it, because he intends to be back in Tel Aviv with daybreak of the 14th. That's not right. The Mishnah Berurah is not willing to accept that. That's Berzon's mistake. The Mishnah Berurah is saying, because he intends to be out of Yerushalayim before daybreak of the 15th. Yeah. So his intention is not to return to Tel Aviv on the 14th. His intention is to return to Tel Aviv on the 15th. Let's say during the course of the night, before daybreak,
the 15th.
And therefore he never becomes a Ben Krach, and he's going to have to read the Megillah on the 14th. Now let me just figure this out. Does it depend upon information that he gets here? In other words, was he missing any piece of knowledge on the 14th that would have told him that he has to remain in Yerushalayim until after daybreak on the 15th? L'chora, if I understand correctly, that information is totally irrelevant to him. Why? Because already on the 14th, he knows that he's chayav in Megillah reading. So you have a Tel Aviv in Yerushalayim on the 14th, right, there's no one reading the Megillah except for him, because he realizes that he still has the status of a Ben Parus. Okay, now I'm ready for comments and questions, at least up to this point.
Because he doesn't plan on being Yerushalayim at the time of the Megillah reading on the 15th. So if he's not going to be there on the 15th, then he needs to read it on the 14th.
Right. At the end, he ends up finding himself in Yerushalayim on the 15th. Everybody's rushing to hear the Megillah. He already read the Megillah on the 14th.
Should he hear it
now again? What happens if he, for some reason or other, he couldn't find anyone in Yerushalayim, not one person who could read the Megillah for him? Or alternatively, again, I don't want to raise this because there's a whole can of worms here, which I'm going to just say it and make believe I didn't say it. Don't ask me any questions, but I don't even know if anyone could read the Megillah on his behalf in Yerushalayim. Unless he has another Tel Avivi who's in the same situation as him. Again, that's a whole other issue which I don't even want to touch on now, because it's just going to derail us. Okay. So now we get to Avo. Do you have that? Avil. So we're on, what line are we up to? One, two, of the wide ones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sixth line.
Eight Nisiyato.
Correct. In the eighth Nisiyato, Lohayu B'dayto Lachzor Minakra. So he lands, this Tel Aviv, he lands in Yerushalayim on the 14th. And his plan was to remain in Yerushalayim on the 15th. And what is he planning to check out of Yerushalayim? Li'achar's manakriya. So let's say that daybreak is 6 a.m. He's going to be in Yerushalayim on the 15th at 6 a.m. Da'idu bokeh shel tesva oz kvar huz manakriya. Is oz chalov shem mukav v'korei imohem b'yom tesvav. So he's going to skip Yom Yudalid because he intends to be in Yerushalayim on Yom Tesvav. Okay, now what happens if his plan's foiled? Afilu acher kachazar le'iro biyom tesvav. Again, he doesn't tell you exactly when, but let's assume sometime after 6 a.m. I want to know what happens if at the end his plans change and he went back to Tel Aviv. Okay, fine. But let's go through all the cases. I'm assuming now he's talking about a case where he was in Yerushalayim at 6 a.m. at the time of daybreak. And now he goes Aval im hayadai to be yasalatzlim koma bisman kriya. So before daybreak, he plans to be back in Tel Aviv. Dahainu. Just 1 second. Let me backtrack then. Aval im beis nisiyasalai yadai to latzlim koma bisman kriya. Then he becomes a ben krach. and he reads with them on Tel Aviv. Oh, afilu im acharkach chazar le'iro. He goes back to Tel Aviv. B'yom tesvav. What does that mean, yom tesvav? I wish he would clarify that.
Even if he gets, even if he's on at the time of Megillah reading on tesvav, he's back in Tel Aviv. He's obligated as if he was.
It means he didn't go to shul on tesvav. So he's in a funny bind over here. Why? Because he was actually
going to get the Megillah reading in Yerushalayim, but for some reason he didn't, and right. Now he's back in Tel Aviv. So he's then a ben,
right.
He reads like a ben. Krah.
Is then Kore Shom, right? He's going to he's going to be the Lone Ranger now, reading the Megillah in Tel Aviv on Tesvav, because lohistic, let's say, he didn't get a chance to hear the Megillah on Tesvav in Yerushalayim. So he's going to have to read the Megillah in Yerushalayim. Now again, we're talking about a guy whose intention was to stay in Yerushalayim past 6 a.m. on Tesvav. Now what happens if his plans change and he ends up in Tel Aviv on the 14th? It sounds like, since he was already in Yerushalayim on the 14th, he become with the intention of remaining there, he automatically picks up. Again, what changes? Achikah chazal ira biyom tesvav. Oh, so maybe the Mishnah Berurah is implying that if he goes back to his city on the 14th, then the whole deal is off, even though his intention was to remain in Yerushalayim on the 15th. I don't know. Again, the only case he addresses here is where his plans changed and he goes back to Tel Aviv on the 15th. He didn't get a chance to hear the Megillah. He's got to read it on the 15th in Tel Aviv. And all this is based on the Kesef Mishnah and the Magid Mishnah. V'yata devar asif le'inyan ofen asheni, d'ayin v'ben krach, shaholach le'ir. Okay, so until now we've been speaking about a ben ir, a Tel Aviv. He finds himself in Yerushalayim. And there were logically two possibilities. There was either possibility where he intends to be back in Tel Aviv before daybreak on the 15th. He doesn't gain the status of a ben krach. And he's going to have to read on the 14th in Yerushalayim. Alternatively, the second scenario was that his intention was to be in Yerushalayim on the 15th. He gains the status of a Mukaf Ben Yomo. He's Chayim on the 15th. Where will he hear the Megillah reading? That depends. If he gets a chance, he'll hear it in Yerushalayim. If he doesn't get a chance, he'll hear it in Tel Aviv, or he'll read it in Tel Aviv. But now, what about the opposite case? Now we're talking about a Yerushalmi who finds himself in Tel Aviv on the 14th. And he says the following, his intention was to check out of Tel Aviv. And again, what does it mean before this Zman HaKriya? We highlighted the words on the third line, Shubo Ata, in Tel Aviv. So the Tel Aviv reading of the Megillah is daybreak of the 14th. And here I think we were on the right track from the get-go. We didn't make any mistakes. So again, he's a Yerushalmi who finds himself in Tel Aviv on the night of the 14th, but his intention was lachzor l'mkomo b'zman kriya, that by daybreak, sometime before daybreak of the 14th, he will be back in Yerushalayim. That is she'achzor b'sham b'leil yudal, sometime during the nighttime. Let's say night is from 6 p.m. till 6 a.m., that 12-hour period, he will be back in Yerushalayim. So he never got the status of what? A Paruz Ben Yomo. Ah, Fal Gavdil Basof, even though his plans fell through. Venis Akev, he ended up staying in Tel Aviv. Is nevertheless Kore Kimkomo, which means Biyom Tesvav. Now again, his plans fell through. So instead of leaving in the middle of the night of the 14th, when did he go back to Yerushalayim? Could be that he went back to Yerushalayim 2 days later. I don't care. Why? Because since he didn't take upon himself the status of a Ben Paruz, his Chiyuv Megillah is on the 15th. He may actually find himself in Tel Aviv on the 15th, and the Lone Ranger, he'll read the Megillah His intention, this Yerushalmi, was to stay overnight in Tel Aviv on the 14th. Chalav Chovas HaKriya Shal HaIr. He becomes what? A Paruz Ben Yomo. Zeu shomar mechaber. Kore im anshei amokum asher husham, meaning he's a poros ben yomo. And he has to read the Megillah together with the Tel Avivis on the 14th because his intention was to stay overnight in Tel Aviv. Even if during the course of the Yudalid he returns to the Yerushalayim and he hasn't yet heard the Megillah reading, Tzarech Likro Bioso Yom Yudalid Shunikra Paruz Ben Yom. And now we're up to the task. But before we get up to the task, let me just raise the following question. What happens in the following case? Let's say his intention was to go back to Yerushalayim. If his intention was to go back to Yerushalayim before daybreak, then he's Chayav Megillah on the 15th, and he'll have to read even if he's stuck in Yerushalayim. But what happens if his intention was to stay over in Tel Aviv and he didn't get a chance to hear the Megillah in Tel Aviv, he's back in Yerushalayim, then he has to read on the 14th in Yerushalayim? Okay, I think I'm okay. There was one case that crossed my mind that I had a question about, but I don't remember what it is right now. Anyway, because of Ataz, to call Zed Dafke Mahayashav the ear mitchilas. Oh, okay. So what's going on now? He's a Yerushalmi. He finds himself in Tel Aviv. His intention was to get out of there in the middle of the night. Let me just go over this one more time. Daito Lassav, he says Lassasham. Then it becomes a. Yeah, fine. So he's a Paros Ben Yom. Kol Zeh Dafka Im Hayasham B'Tchilas Hayom. When do we say that he's a Paros Ben Yom? So again, his intention was to stay overnight. Was to stay overnight where? In Tel Aviv, which gave him the status of a Paros Ben Yom. Now his plans changed. So it's not the case where I said to you before, where he didn't hear the Megillah on Yudalit, he got back to Yerushalayim on Tesvav, and he has to read the Megillah on Yudalit. But he is a place where his plans change from one extreme to the other, and he doesn't even find himself in Tel Aviv on the morning of the 14th. But rather, Chazal Mekomo, he gets back to Yerushalayim Kodem Hayom before daybreak on the 14th. Is then says the Taz lo moil mashachoshav mitchila lios beir beis kriyasair. So even though again his intention was to make himself into Paros Ben Yom because he's going to be in Tel Aviv with daybreak, but he never actually made it to daybreak. So let's rewind. What would the Taz say about the original case that we spoke about of a Tel Avivi who finds himself in a krach on Yudalit? So his intention was to remain in Tel Aviv.
You said he finds himself in a krach.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about a Ben Ir who finds himself in a krach. The first case, right? I'm going back to the first case. Okay. So he finds himself in a krach.
Right.
And his intention was to remain in the krach even as late as daybreak on the 15th.
Right.
So we said it becomes a mukaf ben yomo,
right,
and he has to read on the 15th.
Correct.
Okay. Now one second. Now, just one second. His plans fell through. If he intended to stay. Let's go through the two cases again. So case number one was that his intention was to get out of Tel Aviv before daybreak of the 15th. At the end, he was misakted right from both the 14th and the 15th. He finds himself in Yerushalayim. He's not a mukaf ben yomo because he intended to get out of there before
daybreak.
Before daybreak of the 15th. And now he gets stuck and he'll have to read the Megillah on the 15th in Tel Aviv because he never became a Poros ben yomo because he intended to be back in Yerushalayim before daybreak of the 15th. Okay, now let's see if the Taz would apply in such a case. So he has to read. No. Oh, so the Taz has no application in that case because Adarava, if you're gonna tell me he left earlier, so then how much more so is he a Ben Krach? Oh, but let's go to this case number two. The Ace and the Cioso, he intended to remain in Yerushalayim. Oh, he intended to remain in Yerushalayim beyond daybreak, so it became a Ben Krach Ben Yomo, and therefore, even if he ends up in Tel Aviv, he's going to have to read the Megillah on the 15th in Tel Aviv, because he's a Ben Krach. Oh, so now, let's think if the Taz applies. What happens? He ends up, as he intended to be in Yerushalayim on Tesvav. He ends up staying in Tel Aviv. Wait, just 1 second. I'm sorry. We're talking about a case of a fellow from Tel Aviv. He intended to be in Yerushalayim with the 15th daybreak. So we said his intention makes him into a Ben Krach Ben Yomo. And even if he ends up in Tel Aviv, he's going to have to read the Megillah on the 15th. But now if we apply the Taz says that how could you become a Ben Krach? Because in the Taz case, when does it become a Ben Ir? When does it become a Ben Ir? When he was a Yerushalmi stuck in Tel Aviv, that's only because he remained in Tel Aviv. In other words, if his intention was to be back in Yerushalayim, he does not become a Poros Ben Yomo. Then you could say that he became a Poros Ben Yomo. So in the case of a Ben Krach, he became Poros Ben Yomo. And why is he Poros Ben Yomo? Because his intention was to remain in Tel Aviv on the 14th by day. Right? Oh, so says the Taz, he's got to be in Tel Aviv on the 14th by day. It's not enough that his intention was to leave after daybreak, but he actually has to be there, right? That's the Taz. So in order to become a Poros Ben Yom, you have to actually be there on the morning of Yudal. I'm talking about a Ben Krach, right? So now he becomes a Poros Ben Yomo, but the Taz adds another condition, not only because his intention was to be there with daybreak, but also he was there at daybreak. Calls it Dafka and Hayisham Be'ir B'Tchilas Hayom. So he didn't go back to Yerushalayim before daybreak. So he's in Tel Aviv on Yudalid after daybreak. That gives him the status of a Poros Ben Yomo. So again, even though he ends up in Yerushalayim on the 14th, he's going to have to read the Megillah in Tesvav, but that's only because he was there in Tel Aviv with daybreak. So now I'm trying to figure out what would the Taz say in the reverse case when we're talking about a Ben Ir, right? And he becomes, and he's in Yerushalayim, now he becomes a Ben Krach Ben Yomo because his intention was to remain in Yerushalayim with daybreak on the 15th. Now what would the Taz say if his plans changed and he wasn't there in Yerushalayim with daybreak. Because again, in the case of Paruz, he only became a Paruz Ben Yom, says the Taz, because not only did he intend to be there on the 14th, but he was actually there on the 14th with daybreak. So should we apply the same yardstick of the Taz in the case of Ben Ir, who finds himself in Yerushalayim and he becomes a Mukaf Ben Yom because his intention was to be there in Yerushalayim with daybreak on the 15th? What happens, according to the Taz, if he never, he did not remain in Yerushalayim with daybreak on the 15th.
That's so even a problem. Though,
what?
That's a problem. Because he missed it on the 14th, and he was not in the walled city on the 15th.
So that's, I don't know. So maybe the Taz would say, in this case, for sure, he has to read on the 15th back in Tel Aviv. Why? He became a Paruz Ben Yom because of his intention to stay there. And even though he never crossed the bounds and he was never in Yerushalayim at the Shas Chiyuv, but nevertheless, if you can apply the Taz's yardstick, then it turns out that he doesn't have Megillah reading neither on the 14th or the 15th. Whereas the Taz, in the case of a Ben Krach, Shehalach Le'ir, there he's saying that if he wasn't befall, in actuality, in the city with daybreak, then he remains a Ben Krach, but that's fine, because then he'll read on the 15th. But in the reverse case, where he didn't remain past daybreak on the 15th, you're going to tell me now he has the status of a Ben Ir, and he cannot take upon himself the, you know, strip himself of the Ben Ir status, take upon himself the status of a Ben Krach, because he wasn't there with daybreak, then where is he going to read? Just one second. If his plans changed, just one second. So that's not an argument, because let him read it back until it's already the 15th. Okay. So we tagged on him a status of a Ben Krach because of an intention to stay there. Therefore, he did not read the Megillah on the 14th. His plans fell through, and he returned to Yerushalayim on the night of the 15th. Here, the Taz would have to agree that he remains a Ben Krach. He'll read on the 15th in Tel Aviv, because otherwise, he has no Kriyas HaMegillah.
Right. You don't make sense.
This is exhausting. I begin to realize what the Mishnah Berurah meant in his Akdama here, that this is a very complicated business. All right, we'll stop here at both sides. So we're on page 304, and we got up to the Mishnah Berurah in the middle of Yud Gimel. Right? In the middle of Yud Beis. Did we finish Yud Beis? I just want to see if we finished. We finished Yud Beis. So we're actually up to Yud Gimel. And that's going to be the case of the Ramah, Imhu Bamidbar. Okay then?
Yeah.
So tomorrow's a fast day. You'll let me know if you're up to it. You know, Phil, you won't be here tomorrow, but... Okay, thanks very much. At 11:45, we'll start.